When I was in my early 20s, I often led music at Christian retreats. At one of these retreats, for a high school first priority club, they had a speaker that I did not know, and he said something during one of his messages that shocked me. He said, "When you pray about something, just pray once. If God is going to do it, God will do it. If God is not going to do it, God won't do it. But no amount of asking is going to change God's mind or provoke God to action. So when you pray about something, just pray once." Well, I looked around, all worked up, and these students were just taking notes, you know. What about pray without ceasing? And what about Jesus' teaching in Luke 18, where he instructs his disciples to always pray, to pray continually, and never lose heart? He tells a fascinating parable to get the point across. In a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God or respect people. Jesus' original listeners could have imagined such a judge. Ancient magistrates were notorious for settling civil disputes on the basis of bribes. The judge in Jesus' parable was irreligious, uncompassionate, and unscrupulous. His job was to mete out justice, yet he was unjust. This was devastating to the justice system, especially since ancient judges adjudicated cases without a jury. Imagine how exasperating it would have been for a victim of injustice, without money and without social status, to have had to stand trial before this judge. And here comes a widow. Widows were among the most vulnerable members of ancient society. Scripture often cites widows in terms of God wanting justice for orphans and widows. As women living in a thoroughly patriarchal culture, widows generally could not inherit anything from their deceased husbands. The husband's estate would go to a son, or a brother, or some other male relative. Since there were no pensions or life insurance options back then, widows could not benefit from these resources either. As a result, when the husband provider died, widows often became destitute, with little opportunity for upward mobility. The widow in Jesus' parable was the victim of some injustice, probably a financial matter, although we don't know the specifics. She was unable to afford a bribe. She had no status with which to influence the judge. Her only recourse was persistence. She kept coming to the judge, saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." I picture the judge trying to walk from the street to his office, and here comes the widow running up, "Grant me justice against my opponent." I can see the judge at the local cafe trying to eat his lunch in peace, and the widow stops by the table, "Grant me justice against my opponent." She kept on coming and wouldn't let up. She was tenacious, unbending, unrelenting. When I was pastoring in North Carolina, I got home one Sunday after worship and received a phone call. It was bad news. A 33-year-old member of our church named Daniel had suffered a massive heart attack. Daniel had a wife and two young children, a wonderful church member, a good friend. The woman on the phone asked me, please, to pray for Daniel immediately because he was on the brink of death. So I jumped in my car drove toward the hospital, and I prayed the whole way there. And when I say I prayed, I mean I really prayed. I kept saying over and over again, God, please save Daniel. God, please save Daniel. God, he has two little children that need him. Please save Daniel. Save Daniel. There was not in that moment any, if it be in accordance with thy everlasting will. In that moment, there were no qualifications like, but you know best, Lord. I was just praying over and over again, please save Daniel. Thankfully, Daniel survived due to the hand of God, the hand of the surgeon, the prayers of people all over the county. He even went on a mission trip with us the following year. But I bring this up because that was a day I can say that I prayed like I meant it. I prayed hard with full investment, a type of investment I can only hope to approximate in my routine prayer life. The widow, you see, was not tossing out requests in a way that suggested she didn't really care whether the requests got granted or not. This widow was not going through the motions of asking someone something. She was asking like she meant it. She was pleading with her whole being. For a while, the judge refused to hear her case. But finally, he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. Essentially, the judge got sick of her and finally ruled in her favor. The Greek phrase translated wear me out literally means to give someone a black eye. The language is taken from the ancient sport of boxing, so it may suggest that in some way the widow physically intimidated the judge. But it definitely indicates that he granted her request because he did not want to deal with her anymore. Now, since we're talking about prayer and persistence in prayer, let me say that I have heard many preachers say on many occasions, prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes us. I think this is true in terms of character. Prayer does not change God's character, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Prayer changes our character, which is constantly in need of improvement. But this is not the only reason that prayer is significant. The Bible indicates that prayer plays a role in how God's providence plays out in the world. For example, James 5, 16 through 18 says, "The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3.5 years, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. In Exodus chapter 32, the Israelites built a golden calf and proceeded to worship it, a blatant act of idolatry. God became angry and was preparing to consume the Israelites in wrath, but Moses interceded for the people, praying to God, saying, "Turn from your fierce wrath and do not bring disaster on your people." After hearing Moses' plea, God relented from punishing Israel. This story suggests that human interaction with God can influence God's work in the world. My first year out of college, I still hung out with some of my good college friends. And one of them, whose name was Andy, asked me if I wanted to join a few of them one night a week to pray together. I said, sure, I'd love to. I was thinking we'd get together, hang out for an hour or two, and then say a quick prayer and leave. How wrong I was. I walked in the door. Andy said, "Hey, man, you ready?" I said, "Yeah." And he got down on his knees right then and started praying. So I got down on my knees and prayed with him and a couple of other guys. And 30 minutes later, we stood up again. We did this week after week. And we weren't just praying so that we would receive the benefit of enhanced Christian character. We were lifting up supplications for ourselves and our own lives. We were making intercessions for other people, people we love. We were begging God to move and do things in our lives and in the world. We had lists that we prayed through week after week, similar to the list that we use on Wednesday nights here at church, lists of people and situations that we pray about. This approach stands in stark contrast to the speaker at the first priority retreat, who seemed to have a rather static understanding of God, prayer, and providence. I wonder what he would say about James 5 and Exodus 32 and many scriptures that suggest dynamic, meaningful, genuine interaction between God and human beings can influence the course of history in subtle and significant ways. I wonder what he'd say about the parable of the persistent widow. The argument of the parable is straightforward. You know, some of Jesus' parables leave us mystified, scratching our heads. But this one's pretty clear. At the end, Jesus says, "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night?" I've read several commentators on this passage, and virtually every one of them mentions that Jesus is using an argument from the lesser to the greater. He's saying if an unjust judge would grant justice to a widow, how much more will our just and righteous God respond to our persistent prayers? This is not to say that we get everything we ask for persistently in prayer. It's not to say that if we pray for the same thing 100 times, we're more likely to get it than if we pray for it 25 times. Sometimes God says no. If you're a praying person or have been for some time, I would bet that you're familiar with that. It's important for God to say no sometimes because God is no cosmic bellhop. God is the sovereign Lord of all things. If everyone received everything they ever asked for, humanity functionally would be bossing God around, and I'm sure the world would degenerate into utter chaos. People ask for all kinds of things, money, power, and so on. Notice, however, that the widow's paradigmatic plea is not for a new car. Her request is not for a winning lottery ticket. She doesn't ask for that sweater, please, to still be on sale. She's not begging God, please, for her favorite team to win the game. This is a prayer for a marginalized person to be granted justice. We will miss the full thrust of this parable if we do not see that the content of her prayer is as important as the constancy of it. When we pray, we are to lift up the destitute, the disadvantaged, and the dispossessed. We are to pray for God to bring justice, vindication on behalf of those who struggle against the odds every day of their lives. Many of us have prayer lists. Let me suggest that somewhere on there we write, "Justice for the downtrodden." Notice also how the widow kept coming to the judge. The parable suggests she put one foot in front of the other over and over again. Her persistence involved both action and words, both walking and talking. Her exemplary prayer was physically embodied. Jesus is implicitly challenging us to embody our prayers, especially our prayers for justice. So many of our prayers would be stronger if we put some legs on them. Prayer is no disembodied exercise. It is head and heart, mind and body, a holistic expression of faith in God. At the end of the parable, Jesus asks, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" As in many of his parables, Jesus turns the tables. He pulls the rug out from under us and flips prayer on its head. The final question is not whether God will prove faithful to answer our prayers, but whether we will prove faithful to keep on praying. The final question is not whether God will do what we want, but whether we will do what God wants. We may feel at times as if our prayers aren't going any higher than the ceiling. We may feel at times that we must not be on the same page with God because what we are seeking in prayer, we are not receiving. Even when we pray for noble Christian ideals, such as justice for the oppressed, salvation for the hopeless, and the arrival of the kingdom of God, we may feel as if our prayers are not working because the world is messed up. It is not right yet. But don't lose heart, Jesus says. Don't get discouraged, Jesus says. Don't give up, Jesus says. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Keep the lines of communication between you and God open. For one day, the Son of Man will come, and all of our prayers will find their ultimate answer. One day, Christ will come, and all of our petitions will find their ultimate fulfillment. One day, Christ will come, and all of our requests will find their ultimate response. When Christ returns, the only question left will be, is there still faith on earth? I pray there would be here in Richmond and here at Second Baptist Church. Amen. If you have never put your faith in Christ, won't you come forward this morning and receive